At one time or another, we've all been guilty of something. Might have been something that we might say trivial, might have been something not so trivial. But I think we all understand what it means when we say to feel guilty. And it's not a good feeling. It's not something that we enjoy. A lot of other feelings that we might have of excitement or victory or vindication, a lot of other things that I could think about that I would rather experience emotionally than I would guilt. And since guilt is a part of our lives, and it is something that we should talk about tonight as we conclude this five-part series on being an overcomer. Again, it began a few Sundays ago where we spoke from Romans chapter 8 and how we are more than conquerors, or we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. And sure enough, while this list, of course, is by no means exhaustive, in Christ we can be overcomers. We can be all that God wants us to be. And when all the troubles and trials of life come our way, somehow, by His great power, we will overcome. And so tonight, as we bring this to a close, after talking about anxiety and loneliness, anger, and grief, let's explore the topic of guilt this evening and how we can effectively deal with our guilt. Again, everyone, one way or another, deals with guilt feelings. I don't know what's particularly going on in your life. You may be just eaten up with guilt. And the timing of this lesson may be extremely providential for what's going on in your life. And hopefully some things I can share tonight from the Word of God will give you some comfort and give you some instruction as to what you can do to deal with that grief, or excuse me, with that particular guilt. Sometimes we don't feel guilty enough. And we'll kind of hint at that here in just a few minutes, that yes, we ought to feel a little bit more guilty than what we do at times when we do sin. But generally the problem is, when we talk about overcoming guilt, is that we have an overwhelming sense of guilt. We feel way too guilty for what we should, and we're not properly dealing with our guilt, and because of that, problems ensue in our relationship with God and our relationship with others, and especially our relationship with self, and depression can set in, low self-esteem, these kinds of things. So tonight, let's talk about how we can effectively and biblically deal with the feelings of guilt that come in to our lives. Well, as we like to start in this particular series with each of these areas, first of all, let's define guilt and talk about some of its kinds and some of its causes. One of the types of guilt is legal guilt. And this is when we have violated the laws of society and we have a fear of punishment. If you've ever been guilty of breaking the law, if it were to be running a stop sign to maybe something a little bit more drastic, hopefully you felt guilty about that. And if you got caught, you probably especially felt guilty and even embarrassed. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, because when we sin, we're supposed to feel guilty. It's people who sin and don't feel guilty, then that's a problem again, where they have no remorse, and we got to deal with that on a different end. And tonight we're kind of going the other extreme, that a lot of times when people make a mistake in their life, they feel guilty and to the excess and need to work on that. And so if you've ever broken any laws and know it and you feel some guilt about that, psychologists say that is legal guilt. And then there's social guilt, and this is when we have improper behavior. In our society, we have certain rules, most of them unwritten, but we understand them through our culture and our upbringing, things that you say and do and things you don't say and you don't do. And when we violate those rules of culture and some of those rules of society, and we say, well, I really put my foot in my mouth, or I shouldn't have done that, or those kinds of things, then we feel this kind of guilt, and it really hurts our interpersonal relationships, and we have a social guilt. And usually we lose self-esteem, and we want to withdraw from society. We get this kick-me attitude, which I'll deal with just a little bit here. We say, well, I'm no good, and I can't handle this, and so I'll just withdraw from society, and that'll take care of that guilt, and just have as limited access to people as possible, and I won't make that mistake again. Well, that's one way to deal with it, but I don't think it's a very good way. A third kind of guilt that psychologists like to define is personal guilt. And this is when we fail to meet up to our own personal standards. all of us set standards for ourselves. We might not actually write them down. We may not put them up on the mirror in the bathroom or somewhere in a prominent place on the refrigerator where we can see them. But we have those unwritten rules in our mind to say, I need to be like this. I need to do that. This is what I strive to be. And we don't always meet up to those particular expectations. Again, we're human, even in our own standards. And if we set our own personal goals too high and we fall short of those, we can tend to feel guilty about that. And again, we have a loss of self-esteem and we think, well, I'm not any good. Can't even meet my own expectations, let alone expectations of others. And oh my goodness, let's forget about the expectations of God. Well, again, this personal guilt is way overstated and needs to be in a healthier context for sure. The last one, as you see here, is theological guilt. And, of course, this is the violation of God's law. When we read something in the Bible and we realize that it's binding on us today and we know that it's an activity that we should not be engaged in and we do it, guilt should set in. Sin should bring guilt. And again, sometimes we feel more guilty than we should, and this is a type of theological guilt. Now, some of these overlap. If you have broken the civil law and you suffer legal guilt, there should also be some theological guilt. Because we realize, because of passages like Romans 13:1, 1 Peter chapter 2, and other places, we are to obey the laws of the land, and to disobey them is to also disobey God. So if you do get caught at one of these types of things, we realize not only that might be just legal guilt or social guilt, you may have some theological guilt thrown in there as well. Point being with all this is, again, sometimes we feel way too guilty than what we should, and then guilt becomes a problem, and it brings us down and harms our relationships and hurts us in our everyday walk. Well, some of the causes then of guilt, as we kind of springboard off of those four areas that we just looked at, is that, again, the past learning and some unrealistic personal expectations can bring guilt. This is personal guilt, that we just set our own standards way too high. Most people wouldn't set them there, but for some reason we have. We don't make it, which is obvious. We're not going to make that, at least it should be. But when we don't, then sometimes the guilt sets in. Unfortunately, sometimes in this particular area, the standards can be set by somebody else that can cause excessive guilt. If you lived in a home where your parents were extremely strict and were always wanting you to succeed, wanting you to be perfect, and they set very high standards for you as an individual, and you didn't meet those standards, they may have made you feel guilty about them, and you may be carrying those kinds of images and that kind of self-esteem with you into life. Sometimes psychologists feel like that workaholics come out of this kind of background. Of course, that's not always true. But sometimes workaholics are trying to meet up to the unbelievably high standards set for them by their parents or those who brought them up. And so they feel like working their life away and being that workaholic, somehow one of these days they'll meet up to those standards and that'll take care of the guilt. Well, workaholics can be very good people. They get a lot of things done and usually energetic and organized. I don't know if there's anything necessarily wrong about being a workaholic per se, but again, it's something which if it's driven by the wrong motivator, i.e. guilt, now we got a problem because guilt is an awful, terrible motivator. Inferiority and social pressure. We don't have as much talent as the next person. We don't have as much wealth as the next person, as much education as the next person. This kind of thing, the peer pressure sets in, and when we don't meet up to those around us or whatever, sometimes that makes us feel guilty. And again, that's part of that social guilt that I talked about earlier. As you see there on the screen, faulty conscience development. Again, when your moral upbringing and your moral training was punitive, too critical, fear-ridden, and highly demanding, this brings on excessive guilt, and it's not emotionally healthy. It's not the way we ought to think about guilt and handling with our guilt. And if you were brought up in a home like that, then I'm sorry. That's too bad. I'm here to tell you that life can be enjoyed, that guilt need not be that overriding, ruining part of your life if it is. And finally then, sometimes supernatural influences cause us to feel guilty. And again, this was not so bad. If we listen to the devil, a supernatural influence, all right? Anytime you go one-on-one with the devil without Jesus Christ, you lose. I mean, that's the testimony in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You take on the devil by yourself, sooner or later, you're going to lose. It's usually sooner than later. And that's going to bring guilt. And so when you give in to the devil's temptations and you listen to what he has to say, you should feel guilty about that. Hopefully, not to the point of despair, not to the point that you want to quit your Christian walk, not to the point that you say, well, I just can't do this. But rather, hopefully we can get you back on a better keel, a better way to look at all of this. Well, what are some of the effects of guilt? How is it that sometimes we try to handle the guilt that's in our lives? Well, here's several of them. A couple of them pretty good. A couple of them are not so good. All right. One that's not so good is defense mechanisms. And that's where we blame everybody else but ourselves. Flip Wilson used to say that the devil made me do it, you know. Well, the devil never made anybody do anything. The devil tempts us, and the Bible says we're drawn away by our own desire and our own lust, and that truly with the temptation, God provides the way of escape. So the choice is ours. The devil's not making us sin. He's providing us the temptation to sin. God provides the way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, and we have to make the choice, all right? But sometimes when we make that choice to sin, we want to blame somebody other than ourselves. And that's a form of defense mechanism, and it doesn't really deal with the guilt because it's not dealing with what caused the guilt. And that's ourself, our choice, our willing to give in and commit sin. Sometimes we react with self-condemnation. We tear down our self-image. Have you ever been the butt of a joke or even played it on somebody as a kid where you got a little piece of paper and on that piece of paper it said, kick me, and then you came up and gave somebody a pat on the back and you end up putting that sign on their back and they don't realize they got this sign on their back as they walk around school saying, kick me, kick me. And it's funny for a little while, but it is not so funny after that, and it's kind of a cruel game. But some people live their life with a kick me attitude. Unfortunately, they deal with their guilt in such a way that they're always in self-condemnation. Oh, I'm terrible. I'm no good. I can't do anything. It's the old kick-me syndrome, and so it's brought on by not dealing effectively with their guilt. Again, if you've done something wrong, then you're guilty. But the Bible says we can deal with this in a very effective way through Jesus Christ. So don't go around in self-condemnation with this kick-me attitude that unfortunately some people have. I've seen it. You've probably seen it as well. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes there's social reactions. People withdraw from society because of their excessive guilt that they're dealing with. They just think, well, I'm not good enough to be with those folks, and I'm just not their caliber, and I just don't meet up to what they expect out of people. And so, unfortunately, then they don't do what they're supposed to be doing and enjoying life and enjoying relationships because of the excessive guilt that they're dealing with. I don't have any specifics here on this one. I can look it up in a couple of the books that I used in preparation of these lessons, but the psychologist that I primarily use says that there's even some physical reactions, that there are some kinds of illnesses that can actually be brought on by excessive guilt and not dealing with our guilt. And that's very sad to think that something physiological could result from this emotional problem, but yet we know that's the case with other type maladies like this, and guilt would be no exception. The best way to deal with guilt is number 5. And what we need to do is repent of the sin that's causing us to feel guilty, do our best to change our lifestyle, change our way of thinking. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's very, very difficult. But it's on the road to recovery when you say, yep, I got to stop this. I got to stop this activity. I got to stop thinking like this. Got to stop talking like this. It's repentance. And I've always preached and probably always will, that repentance is the toughest part of either becoming a Christian or remaining a faithful Christian. I mean, you think about it. Most people believe in God. That's not real tough. You just look around and read your Bible, and that's okay. Confessing the name of Jesus when you become a Christian, everybody likes to talk. That's not a big problem. Even being baptized is not such a big deal. You allow somebody else to do the work, lowering you down in the water. The toughest part for most people in becoming a Christian and staying faithful as a Christian is repentance. It's that change of mind, it's that change of attitude that results in a change of behavior. Yeah, it's tough for me, it's tough for you, it's tough for everybody. But this is how you deal with your guilt. You say, hey, I'm going to change. I'm going to make a concerted effort to be what God wants me to be. And I'm going to learn, secondly then, as you see up there, to accept His forgiveness. Like I said this morning, the gospel is a message that's just too good to be true. You know, but it is true. That's the fascinating thing about it. That when you think about how good God is, how perfect God is, and yet He chooses in all of that to forgive us of our sins, and He's even given us Jesus Christ. Well, as Romans 8 would argue, if He gives us Jesus, will He not freely give us all things? Paul's answer to that rhetorical question is yes, He will. He has given us Jesus, so He will forgive our sins. He will help us to stay faithful. He will empower us by His Spirit. There's all kinds of blessings to be had in Christ. And so truly, we need to learn to accept God's forgiveness when we repent of the sin that's in our life. Very simply and very quickly here, the Bible and guilt. There's really very little difference between sin and guilt in the Scriptures. If you want to draw a line there, yeah, you can do that. I'm not going to argue with you on that, because basically sin causes the guilt. But if we're guilty, it's usually because we've sinned. And if we sin, we should feel guilty. And I think I shared with you the time that Bonnie and I visited with a young couple, and he was a fallen away member of the church, and she was not a member. We ended up baptizing her, but he wouldn't come back to the church because he says, I don't want to feel guilty about my sin. And I just didn't have any answer for him. I said, that's the way you should feel. That's the proper response. I can't help you there. He's got to learn to come to grips with his guilt and his sin and learn to repent, as we had up there. And until he's ready to do that, then he's not going to come back to the Lord, unfortunately. Well, Alex read for us out of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 to 10. I want to go back there, if you still have your Bible open, to that text to look here at the Bible and guilt, because we see here a tremendous example of the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. And the difference is whether or not you're going to effectively deal with your guilt or guilt is going to effectively deal with you, all right? Worldly sorrow says guilt gets the upper hand. Godly sorrow says that forgiveness and repentance is going to get the upper hand, and you can deal with those feelings of guilt. Look here again in verse 9. He says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. You know, Paul says, I don't like this guilty feeling. I don't like this sorrow that's brought on by sin. But he says the proper response is that if your guilt and if your sorrow have brought you to the point of repentance, in that I rejoice. Because you see, again, that's the proper response. He says, to the point of repentance, for you were made sorrowful according to the will of God in order that you might not suffer the loss in anything through us. Yeah, to be sorrowful, to feel guilty according to the Word of God. Well, see, that same Word of God that points out our sin, tells us that we're in need of a Savior, also has the remedy for sin. It's that Savior, all right? It's that forgiveness that's available in Christ. And so Paul says, I rejoice that you felt sorry, you felt guilty for your sin, because it led you to repentance, a proper response to that. Verse 10, for the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, i.e., or e.g., whatever you want to look at, no more guilt. Yeah. Well, you don't have any more regret. That means you've fully repented, you've changed your way of thinking, you've changed your lifestyle, you've buried it, it's gone. And it's been forgiven. a repentance without regret. That's repentance. That's handling guilt in a very effective and positive way according to the will of God. And it says this repentance leads to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. The sorrow of the world isn't really sorry. They're sorry they got caught. They're sorry that it didn't work out the way they wanted it to. And so it's not an effective way to deal with guilt. They haven't truly repented in their mind, saying that what they did was wrong. All right? There is a sorrow of the world. It says, well, that didn't work out real well. We'll have to do something different next time. And the guilt isn't dealt with in a biblical way. And so truly then, we need to deal with it as God would have us to deal with it. In a very simple way, think of this example. You spill some coffee. What do you think in your mind? Do you say, oh, what a clumsy fool. I shouldn't even be allowed to drink this, you know? Or do you say, please, hand me a towel. I want to clean this up. Now, that might be a very simple explanation or a simple example, but I think in a lot of ways it's very indicative of what we just talked about there out of 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. The person who says, oh, I'm a clumsy fool, is not effectively dealing with their guilt. But the one who says, oh, I shouldn't have done that, let me clean it up. Ah, there's repentance. They're going to clean up the mess and get on with drinking and enjoying their coffee. And so sure enough, that's the way we should be in life. Instead of putting ourselves down with defense mechanisms, low self-esteem, and all these kinds of things, let's clean up our life. Let's repent, enjoy God's forgiveness, and deal with our guilt that way. You know, for Christians to live in guilt is to forget what happened at Calvary. That's right. God did not send Jesus to condemn the world. Isn't that the testimony of John 3:17? You know, we know John 3:16 pretty well. We ought to really know as well as John 3:16, John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. We were already lost in sin. Jesus didn't come to make us even more aware of our sin. Jesus came to forgive us of our sin, to deal with our guilt. And if we still feel guilty, well, it's time to repent and enjoy God's forgiveness because the cross is still powerful. The cross still speaks today. And what a wonderful way then to deal with our guilt. Sure enough, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Wow. Again, the gospel is just a story that's just too good to be true. But the great thing is that it is. Well, last screen then tonight. How do we handle our guilt? A few things here, just kind of wrapping things up. I've already suggested some of these. Let's learn to be understanding and accepting. All of us are guilty of something. And truly, when someone is guilty of sinning against us, let's remember that we're sinners as well, and that we're guilty before God. Maybe not of that same sin that someone's just sinned against us, but we're guilty before God of something. And so therefore, let's learn to handle those situations in a very understanding and accepting way and not allow those feelings to become greater than what they should be. Have insight into the mind of God. And as you see up there, John 3 and verse 17, that truly God did not send His Son to judge or condemn the world, but the world should be saved through Him. Now truly, let's have that insight to God that He's on our side. He wants to forgive us. He wants to take us home to be in heaven with Him. He's provided Jesus and the Spirit and His Word to ensure all of that. And sure enough, let's deal with our guilt in a very effective way with the blood of Christ. Education, find out what God really expects. Sometimes our standards are just way too high. Sometimes we set goals and things out there that nobody could meet up to. And we say, why do you think you can get there? That only Jesus could be able to do that. And so therefore, by education, let's, instead of setting goals that are way out of sight that make us feel guilty that we can't get to or can't attain, let's do just the opposite. Let's nip at it. Let's nip at it. You know, just take a little bit at a time. Get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. You keep getting a little bit better a whole bunch of times, you're going to get a lot better, all right? And it's the idea of nipping at it and doing it just a little step at a time, and then you can handle the guilt. And finally then, seek repentance and forgiveness by all means. This is the only true way to get rid of the guilt, is to embrace the blood of Jesus Christ by our repentance and confession of our sin and being obedient unto him. So learn to be understanding and acceptable. Have insight into the mind of God and realize that he wants us to be saved and not to be lost. Find out what God truly expects of you, and don't set your goals so high that you feel guilty when you don't attain them, and seek repentance and forgiveness as you go through life. Well, in conclusion then, guilt can choke and kill us spiritually. And if it's used as a motivator, it can be a terrible taskmaster. I promise you I'd get back to this point. Here I do in the conclusion here. You know, God, as best I can see, and if you can find a place, and I'm just not blowing smoke here, you tell me, all right? But tell me where God's used guilt as a motivator. I don't know that he ever has. He's always becoming in love, and he wants obedience. That's true. You know, he's always come saying, I want you to do what I say. But to use guilt, to play on our guilt as a motivator, I haven't found it. I don't think God operates that way. Now, if he does, you tell me afterward, and I'll buy it. But I think we serve a God who doesn't deal with guilt that way. Therefore, let's not deal with guilt that way. All right? Let us not make the motivator that can truly just cause us greater guilt, greater unhappiness. Truly, we want to be obedient to God. We want to repent of our sins because we feel guilty. But we do it out of a motivation of love for God and wanting to be right in his eyes. Love, repentance, and forgiveness will do away with guilt. And you know what? Love, repentance, forgiveness, all three are offered in Jesus Christ. We offer heaven's invitation tonight. If there's any in our building this evening that has an abundance of guilt, Jesus can take care of that. If you'll come repenting of your sins and confessing them, you can become a Christian tonight. Or as a child of God, if you know that you're wrapped up in sin and you're feeling guilty about that, then repent of that sin and confess it. Come back to God in faithful obedience, and that guilt can be gone this evening. If you have need to respond and give your life to Jesus, come now while we stand. While we stand.